The Bible begins with these words: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And at the end of the first week of creation, God looked out on everything he made and said, "It is very good." The book of Genesis says that there was also a special garden that God planted, the Garden of Eden. And the word Eden in Hebrew means pleasure, delight. And it must have been very beautiful. For there the animals and the plants and the first two humans, Adam and Eve, were happy, holy, and everything was teeming with life everywhere. In the center of the garden, there was the tree of life and another tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, "Don't eat of that tree," as it were, it was the tree of death. But everything was just filled with life everywhere, like the rainforests of Brazil or those deep valleys in Hawaii where greenery grows even on the sides of the mountains. I heard a preacher say that it was so filled with life that if you had tickled the soil with a shovel, it would have laughed with flowers. There was no death. Everything was alive and happy because it was holy. God said it was very good. And then something happened to disturb it all. Eve and then Adam went and ate of the forbidden tree instead of the good tree of life. They disobeyed. And the moment that they did that, they noticed something changed. They looked at each other and said, We feel different inside. We're not the same. What happened? We disobeyed God. They were no longer spiritually alive. They didn't know God. They feared God and they felt ashamed. Adam and Eve also felt something in their body. They said, "Eve, Adam, we feel something different." They had begun to experience pain and the beginning of death. Because God had said, "The day that you sin, you will die." They died spiritually. Later they would die physically. And they looked around. They noticed everything else began to change. God put nature under a curse because of Adam and Eve's sin. The Bible says through that one man, sin entered into the world, and with that came death. And so though it was filled with life, things would begin to die. Animals would begin to fight and kill each other. And Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden. And ever since then, we have lived in this world infected by sin and by death. But God's plan wasn't finished. The Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, a second man appeared greater than the first man. The first man could sin and die. The second man was Jesus Christ. He could not sin. He did not sin. And he was not just another man. He was God in the flesh. And he did what the first man couldn't do. He came and took our punishment for us. The Bible says Christ died for our sins, and he provided the solution to the problem that Adam brought into the world. The problem was sin and death. Jesus came and overcame sin and overcame death. He brought life. For you see, he not only died, he rose from the dead. Something that Adam did not do. Today is Resurrection Day. We celebrate Jesus' death, but also his life. And we will look this morning at five resurrections. And the first, of course, is his. But he brings in these other resurrections as he overcomes death with life. The first of these five resurrections is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead. And he's the trailblazer. These other resurrections are links in the chain that Jesus began. Now, Jesus' resurrection is the greatest of all. There were previous ones in the Old Testament. Elijah and Elisha raised people from the dead who later died. Jesus raised people such as Lazarus from the dead. They later died. What was special about Christ's resurrection? He rose and never died again. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, he was raised in an immortal body. Just as in his soul he could not sin, now in his body he could not die. He died once, and he rose again once. The Bible says it's an immortal body, perfect, and it's described as a body of glory. Yes, he was raised physically, because he died physically. But when he rose, his physical body was glorified with new capabilities. It was immortal. It could no longer feel pain. In fact, we're told that he went through walls. He disappeared. He did things that was like an ongoing miracle. He had these new qualities that Adam never had even before he sinned. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that his resurrection was the first fruit of those that rise from the dead. He was the trailblazer. He opened the door, as it were, to this new life that is overcoming death that came in through the first Adam. It was a victorious resurrection. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He even conquered that the one the Bible says has the power of death. That's the devil. Or as John Owen, the great Puritan, said, that was the death of death in the death of Jesus. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. And the Bible says, because he rose, we will rise. He died, we will die. But he guaranteed that we will be raised from the dead again. Do you believe that Jesus Christ truly and really rose from the dead? That's our first resurrection, but not the last one. Listen to these words from Ephesians 2 as we now look at the spiritual resurrection of believers. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus died and he rose, and he now grants spiritual life to those that are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 begins, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We were spiritually dead, just like Adam and Eve after they disobeyed God. We are born spiritually dead. We are born spiritually lost, under the curse of God, doomed in facing judgment. But it didn't end there. Just as history didn't end with the sin of Adam, it was, as it were, reversed in the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus invaded our lives as well. And he began to undo the curse that Adam brought into his race of humanity. We were born spiritually dead, but then the Holy Spirit came into our life at that golden moment. And it says here, he raised us from the dead. This is the same as what Jesus said, you must be born again. The Bible says it's a new creation, just like God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1. He gives us a new creation, a new makeover, a renovation in our soul. And it's not done by ourselves. It's not some resolution we're going to make ourselves better. God does it for us. This spiritual resurrection is not done by us. It is done by another to us. Just like Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he raises us spiritually from the dead when he gives us new life. The Bible says sin brings forth death, but salvation brings forth life. We live spiritually because Jesus rose from the dead. And just as Christ rose with new capabilities, the born-again Christian has new capabilities he was not able to do when he was spiritually dead. Think about that. The spiritually dead person can only sin. He cannot obey. But the born-again Christian now is able to obey. He is able to believe. He is able to repent. Why? Because he has life and he knows God. Everybody in the world is either spiritually dead or spiritually alive. There's no in between. If you are a Christian, you've been raised from the dead. If you are not yet a Christian, you are spiritually dead. What about you? Have you been raised again from the dead spiritually? Have you been born again? Do you have true life? Or are you still walking in darkness and in death? You see, without this great miracle, you are spiritually dead, lost, facing not only physical death, but eternal death. But if you have it, you are spiritually alive and you are thriving, just like the Garden of Eden, teeming with growth. A Christian has been born again and he is spiritually alive. He is a friend of God and he is going to heaven. That's the second resurrection. The spiritual resurrection. For the third resurrection, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The whole chapter tells us about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 3 and 4. He died for our sins and he was buried and rose again from the dead. But that guarantees this other resurrection, the physical resurrection of those that believe in him. Look at verses 20 and 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Skip down to verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. First, we are raised spiritually in regeneration, and then later, we will be raised physically. The spiritual precedes the physical. These bodies of ours are infected by sin, and like Adam and Eve later died, we will die. We've all known people that died. This last week, I attended a funeral, and we put his body in the grave. That will be us one day. Christ also died. But he rose from the dead. And so this third resurrection is, we will rise from the dead. These bodies will die, but they will come out of the grave one day. They will be alive. They will be raised. And the Bible says in this chapter, our resurrection bodies will be just like the body of Jesus when he rose. It was called a body of glory, even so with ours. Philippians 3:21 says, he will transform our lowly body so that it may be conformed to his glorious body. His was teeming with an immortal life, aglow with the glory of God, and so will ours one day. When will this happen? The Bible says it happens at the second coming. Notice what it says here, verse 23. Afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Nobody has received this glorious body yet except Jesus. But one day he will come from heaven in the clouds of glory. And as he comes down, He gives the shout of victory. And those dead bodies of Christians in the grave will rise up and dirt will be scattered. And they will go up in somewhere between earth and heaven. Their bodies will be gloriously transformed, just like his body when it rose from the dead. And just a second later, the Bible says, a twinkling of an eye, like the snapping of a finger, living Christians will also go up without having to die. And again, on the way up, their bodies are gloriously transformed, and they will feel life. You see, their souls have already been raised. Now their bodies will be raised in a body just like the Lord Jesus. It will be instantaneous. It'll be a dramatic change. And we will experience immortality forever. And our bodies will, just like Adam and Eve noticed the change in their body for ill, we will notice something in our body. No pain. No effects of death. No effects of the curse. And the Bible says our bodies then will be young and strong and beautiful, aglow with the glory of God, and we will spend eternity in that glorious body. We will be able to see God with glorified eyes, and we will never die. Brethren, this gives us encouragement when we lose a loved one that is a believer, and we weep because we lose them, and we'll say, I'll see you in glory one day. It gives us encouragement as we look forward to our physical death. Yes, unless we are alive when Jesus returns, we will die. But Jesus said this, because I live, you will live also. That is a solid promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us hope as we approach our death. Our resurrection is inseparably tied to his resurrection. This is what this chapter is about. Some doubted his resurrection. And Paul, under the inspiration of God, said, if Jesus is still dead, nobody rises from the dead. But because he rose, we will rise. That's the promise of the physical resurrection of believers. We come now to the fourth resurrection. And this will surprise you. Turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 5. Jesus not only guaranteed the resurrection of believers in perfect bodies, his resurrection also guaranteed the resurrection of unbelievers in imperfect bodies. Look at John chapter 5, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is the fourth resurrection. This is what the Bible describes as the resurrection of condemnation and doom. Daniel 12:2 says, many of those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, but some to shame and everlasting contempt. The Bible says this will happen yet in the future for unbelievers. Believers get glorious bodies. What about the unbelievers? Revelation 20 describes it as the second resurrection. The first resurrection happens at the second coming, where believers are raised up. What about the unbelievers? After the second coming, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, they will be raised up again in order to face judgment day. And so lost sinners will appear in their resurrection bodies to be judged. Yes, it'll be physical. It will not be reincarnation. But their bodies will not be like our bodies. Ours will be alive and strong and beautiful, not theirs. Ours will be immortal. Theirs will be like a living dead. It'll be like what some call zombies, the living dead. We will be the living alive. They will be the living dead. We will be strong. They will be weak. We will be immune to pain. They will experience only pain in their bodies. Our new bodies will be beautiful. Theirs will be ugly and grotesque and gruesome. Imagine, if you can, at Judgment Day. And it says, everybody that has ever lived will then have been raised from the dead to appear before Jesus Christ the Judge. And on one side will be the Christians. As far as the eye can see, all the beautiful Christians alive, worshiping God, happy, holy. But on the other side, as far as the eye can see, millions, billions of those that died lost in their sins. Their souls are still spiritually dead, and now they are raised in these living dead bodies, ugly, because they are showing the effects of their sins. What a contrast between the two. And those that are Christians will be then ushered into heaven to spend eternity, not just in their souls, but in their glorified bodies. What about the others? The Bible says they will be condemned, soul and body. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Fear God who is able to cast both soul and body into hell." This is why they are raised up again. So that in soul and body they will now be cursed and punished in eternal hell forever. We're told in Romans 14, Jesus both died and rose to be the Lord of the living and the dead. He is the Lord of all humanity. Which means this. He will be the Savior of those that believe in Him. And He will grant them life, forgiveness, and a resurrected perfect body. But He will also be the Judge of those that die lost. And they will be condemned in soul and in body to the eternal doom of heaven. Which will He be for you? Your Savior or your Judge? And the fifth resurrection is even beyond this. For this, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. The fifth resurrection is the resurrection of the universe. You see, when Adam sinned, he brought in death not only to humanity, but to the animal kingdom and to the plants. In fact, it says in Genesis 3, God says, "Cursed be the ground for your sake." It'll be hurt. That's why plants die. Animals will die. There is also a principle of death in the entire universe. Scientists call it entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. Things left to themselves will eventually slow down and die. They go from order to disorder. They don't understand it. Why is it like this? We know it's because God put a curse on the earth. And that's why there's also earthquakes, hurricanes, disease, natural disasters. Romans 8 says, the earth is, as it were, groaning in travail like a mother waiting to give birth. And the time will come, there will be this recreation of the universe. There will be the resurrection of the universe. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." What Jesus will do will, when He returns to the earth and sets up His kingdom, then He will have a great meltdown, as it were. And then out of that, He will refashion the earth. Look at verse 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Acts 3:21 describes it as the times of restoration of all things. Everything will be renovated. Cosmic rejuvenation, a resurrection of the universe. The principle of death will be taken out. No more entropy. In fact, listen to what it says in the Bible. Revelation 21:1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away." And then Revelation 22:3 says, "There shall be no more curse." The curse that God put upon the universe because of an Adam and Eve's sin will be removed. Just like Christ took our curse and removes it from us to give us life, He took the curse on the universe and removed it. And so now there will be a renovated, resurrected universe. No more death. Just as Christ rose in a glorified body with new qualities, and we will also the same thing with the universe. And everywhere that we go, Christians will live in the universe, the new heavens, the new earth, and we will see the glory of God everywhere. Question: will it be as good as the first heaven and the earth before Adam sinned? Will it be like the Garden of Eden before sin? No. It'll be greater. It'll be far greater. Just like we get more than what Adam lost, we get immortality. Adam could sin and die. We will be impeccable and immortal. Everything in the universe will be greater than it was on the first week of creation. God does things in a big way. We will have better bodies than Adam had. The universe will be greater than it was in Genesis chapter 1. A better earth, better than even the Garden of Eden. Do you believe what the Bible says about this great promise? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God that became sinless man, that died for our sins and rose again from the dead? Do you truly believe this gospel? If you do, receive his promise that you will one day be raised again from the dead. You see, his resurrection prepared the way. It is the guarantee, the first fruits, that you too will rise again from the dead. And that is what the significance of his resurrection is all about. And that's why we can truly celebrate on Easter Sunday and every other Sunday and every other day. We can shout and sing because he lives. I can face tomorrow. I can face the grave. I can face the eternity ahead of me. Why? Because Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. This is God's promise. Let us all say amen and live in the hope and the glory of his truth. Let us pray. Father, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, we have spiritual life. We will one day have new physical life and live in a universe filled with life and hope and holiness, all because Jesus rose. In his holy name we pray. Amen.